Well, hey, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson. Great to be with you this week and in this new year. So a great show for you this week, and I'm going to go ahead and kick it off here by telling you that our Q&A is going to be Candace again this week. We're always excited when we can get Candace by phone. So she is going to help a listener kind of tackle an eHarmony question. So I guess this listener is on eHarmony and wants to know, when is it okay for women to initiate contact, or should they just sit back and wait for the guys to come and find them? So can't wait to hear what Candace has to say about that. For this week's culture segment, we are going to feature Kelly Rosati. She is in charge of our Sanctity of Human Life area, including our adoption and orphan care initiative. So very exciting stuff there. As you know, we are in Sanctity of Human Life week here this third week of January. So can't wait to talk to her. Those of you that heard my little shout on Facebook about what we had going on in chapel here last Friday will remember that. But for today's roundtable, we've got a couple things that we have to talk about. One other shout out, one other housekeeping detail, and that is that this week's show is sponsored by lifeandjustice.org. That is a conference that we have coming up here at Focus on the Family. You can catch the podcast online at lifeandjustice.org. So make sure you do that. So this week's roundtable, we've got a couple exciting things that we have to talk about. First off, those of you who caught my blog post on Monday know that we have a new team member here at Boundless. Martha Cranky is here. Martha, welcome.
Thank you.
Yay. Okay, so apparently all these Brio fans are like crawling out of the woodwork because they're like, Martha, I remember reading you in Brio and it was just so great and I can't wait to see you here at Boundless. So
once a Brio sis, always a Brio sis.
I guess. My goodness. I don't think I was a Brio sis. I think it was after my time. So that's kind of sad.
Oh.
I had to come in. I know it makes me feel a little old. That's okay. Maybe I'll maybe Martha will grandfather me in now in retro, you know, kind of a retroactive. So anyway, Martha is here. She's going to start joining the podcast fray. And this is actually her topic this week. So we're excited to tackle this. This was her idea. Let me go ahead and I'm going to have Martha kind of share a little bit about what she thought about with this topic. But let me introduce our other guest, Kelly Vizzini. Kelly, welcome.
Thank you.
Great to have Kelly here because she is part of our human resources department here at Focus on the Family and one of our recruiters, as well as the person who is in charge of our internship program. So I'm going to have her talk a little bit about that as well, because many of you out there have come through the Boundless fold via internships, or you've come through our Focus Institute. So we've seen many of you, and we all know that internships are a great thing. So Martha, let's kick it off here. You kind of had this idea that kind of came about. Obviously, you're new again to Focus and new to Boundless. And so you've recently been through the job hunting process and interview process and throwing out feelers and stuff. So what made you think of this?
Well, that is exactly it. Just very top of mind right now, going through the interview process and freshening up my resume again for this job with Boundless. But part of my story is that I worked with Brio Magazine for 4 years and then I was laid off. And so I had a different job for 2 years before coming back to Focus. So just kind of that experience of having to kind of start over and almost starting a new career that I had first pictured. So that's what I thought we could talk about today.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting because obviously we can talk on a macro level kind of about the economy and kind of how that's affected jobs and what that looks like. And I think there's a lot of people out there, as we talk on Facebook and as we've talked on the show and on the blog, a lot of people in our audience are job hunting or are feeling like, oh, maybe I want to try something different. Maybe I need to make a move. I'm going to assume that Martha did not come up with this topic because she had a bad interview experience with me. We are hoping that that's not the case.
Not at all.
But Anyway, well, let's go ahead and just throw this out there, because Kelly's obviously our expert on this topic, having interviewed people for, how many years have you been in the business total, Kelly?
Probably 8 years.
Okay, so 8 years in HR, but a couple different times doing that. Okay, so that's been, yes. That's been very cool. So, okay, so let's talk about this a little bit, because it's been a while since I've, this time around here at Focus, I've been here since 99, so I haven't had to interview recently, but what for you, Martha, was kind of that experience of saying, you know, you were in this current job and saying, hey, this might be something that I want to consider, and should I make the move? Because it is kind of stressful to switch jobs and think,
definitely.
You know, oh, picking up, it's starting over again. You know, kind of what was that experience like for you?
Well, I actually wasn't even really looking for a job. My sister passed along the job description to me and she said, you'd be a perfect fit for this. So I, at first, my reaction really was a singles ministry. What on earth? I don't want to be doing that every day and day in and day out. But I guess God just convicted me of, you know, this is where you're at in life right now. And, you know, maybe you have something to offer. So I thought I'll just put my name in the hat and see where it goes, not expecting a whole lot. And it just kept progressing that 4 months later, I was offered the job.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And it was 4 months later because Lisa was a little bit out of it.
That's okay.
Yeah. So that was okay. But yes, new year. So Martha's on board. So very, very exciting. Kelly, tell us a little bit about what you see out there in general as far as job seekers that are coming to us. Kind of what's the feel in the job market now, you know, as far as you can see in the industry?
There seems to be a little bit of a panic going on with people who are unemployed maybe for the second, third time, and they've been laid off several times. And so they're feeling a lot of uncertainty and a lot of anxiety in that position. And the one thing that I would say that I'd like to say to encourage every person is that there are jobs out there. People are being hired. And I would say be prayerful about it and be diligent about your search. Consider doing a job that maybe you hadn't considered before. You never know where that could lead. It could open doors for you. There's something about being employed that is so uplifting to our human spirit that I think having a job versus not is definitely beneficial. I also would recommend if you are not in a paid position right now, consider an internship at a ministry or a company. There's a chance to meet a lot of people at that organization and to show them your skills and your abilities. And you never know where that might lead. It may not be within a month or 2 months, but maybe they would keep your name in mind for a particular area or position. And there'd be an opportunity later to get employment for pay. So consider volunteering. I have a good friend that was laid off and she's been volunteering at a couple of organizations. And I feel like it's been great for her because she's still contributing to society in that way. So that's another positive I would say that people would want to consider. Also, you're most likely, most of the people that are under 30 these days are going to have so many jobs over their lifetime. You may be fixated on one particular field or one particular position. And I would say broaden that. Consider a few other things. Maybe one day you will be an editor of a magazine, but maybe you need to start somewhere else first. And God will use all of your skills in ways that you wouldn't imagine at the beginning of your career, but later on in life, you'll see that he has brought all of that together for positions later. Networking is really critical. I feel like there are people that we all know that we could get the word out and say, you know, I'm willing to move. I'm willing to do anything. I'm willing to work at a small company, a big organization. Let people know what you're willing to do and ask them to let you know if they hear of anything to make connections for you. People love making connections. We see that on Facebook. So those are some of the things that I would stress if I were in that situation. Know that you're not going to get every job that you apply for because the economy is so different now. There was a time when there were not as many workers, and so they really had their choice of many premium jobs, whereas now it's more the company really has possibly hundreds of applicants for one particular position. And the way that you want to stand out in is to have an exceptional resume that really shows the employer what you bring to the table for them. Yeah. Not, oh, I've always wanted to paint. Well, yeah. You may not be good at painting. You may have a desire to do that, but really speak more to the bottom line and also to what you can bring to them and also be flexible. Because in a lot of companies today, there are people that are wearing many hats. You're not able just to wear one hat all day, do the same thing all day. So be flexible, be a good coworker, and just be positive as you're looking. Don't get discouraged. Don't give up. There will be no's, but the Lord knows what He has for you. And even during that time, it's a chance to draw close to Him. Those are some of my recommendations.
Great. What would you say, because I think there are kind of, it seems that a lot of young adults kind of fall in two camps. Either they have gotten a degree or multiple degrees and they're very specialized. So we have someone that's just like, okay, I'm a chemical engineer and that's what I need to do. Now, the nice thing about that is you know you're a chemical engineer and you know where you need to go for jobs. The bad thing is that you've kind of narrowed your scope a little bit. Then you have the other side of the spectrum, which is I'm some kind of a liberal arts degree. So I have a history major. What in the world do I do with that? How do I narrow that down into something that I can actually, you know, apply for in the real world? And so what are some of the kind of solutions for maybe each of those situations for those people that might help them, especially just starting out, some younger adults?
I guess I would say that if there are transferable skills that you have, make those evident in your cover letter and on your resume. So I don't think I would limit myself to just saying I have a degree in chemistry, because we are multifaceted. So I feel like, I think I would tell the person to really present the other attributes that cause them to be a little bit more well-rounded of an applicant. That's how I'll put it. Mm-hmm. And if you can present that, you may have skills in organization or communication along with your chemistry degree. So you really need to push those forward if the organization doesn't really need a chemist. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
That just shows the importance of knowing the company that you're applying for. When I've worked with magazines in the past, you often tell freelancers, have you ever read the magazine? That's mm-hmm. the first step to be able to write for us. And I think as you're putting together your resume and preparing for an interview, you need to really do your research of that company to know what they're looking for and know what their passions and goals are as a company, so you can then show them how you fit and can help them accomplish those goals.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk a little bit about the process maybe of recovering from a layoff, for example, and where you kind of go from there. And I know, Martha, you alluded to, Brio when Brio went away. And so for example, someone say they hear that they're laid off. There are some people that, you know, just need like a little bit of time to kind of recuperate from that news and kind of get their bearings and get their legs about them and stuff like that. So then where do you go from there? What does the job hunt or redirect or whatever look like for you? What was kind of your experience with that, Martha?
I had about 2 months that I didn't have a job, and thankfully we had unemployment mm-hmm. to help carry us over, but I really jumped in immediately of contacting people that I knew and really anyone and everyone. I applied for an executive assistant job at a pro-life center and a Compassion for Communications position, and just thankfully I had a lot of connections that I mm-hmm. could talk to people. And I tried to do the grieving process during that time as well, which it was hard, but
yeah.
It was fruitful in the end.
Yeah, because I think it's difficult because a lot of people will say, okay, where do I go from here? And maybe some people haven't thought about the potential for networking. And so they just cast this wide net, and it's Kelly, maybe you could speak to this about really being savvy in your search, like how to best use contacts and networking, especially when it's something where, you know, the job hunt now is a jarring situation because you hadn't expected to be laid off.
All of us have people in our lives who are in varied professions across the country, and I would say I'd shoot little notes to them, letting them know what's going on with me, that I'm looking, I'm eager to work, I'm excited about work, especially if you feel like they could be a positive reference for you at some point. Definitely let everyone know in your circle of influence that you are looking. maybe talk to professors at your college, other people that you've nannied for, any job that you've had prior to the position that you're seeking now. Maybe you don't want to go back and do that same job, but the people that you worked for before, they know someone. Consider an entrepreneurial venture as well. I mean, this could be a great time for that if you have that spirit about you and that drive. So it's really limitless. There are still fields that are growing. They may not be fields that you're interested in. You may have to wait a little bit longer before you find the position that the Lord has for you. So I guess I would say talk to everyone at every party, at every outing, when you're hiking, when you're biking, in the grocery store. Mm-hmm. Talk to people. Have business cards. Have something that you could give out so they could contact you. You know, I'm not a big proponent of using Facebook in that way because I feel like it's more for social contact. But I think LinkedIn might be another good avenue. So those are just a few of my recommendations.
Yeah, that's good. Well, let's talk a little bit here, you know, while we just have a minute or so. Let's talk about the interview process. And I know, Kelly, you do lots of interviews and you probably have nightmare stories of people that have come
yes,
in.
Yes, I
and
do.
Probably, you know, couldn't even remember the name Focus on the Family. And they're like, I can't remember what this place is, but I want to work here, or just something crazy. And I know I've done a lot of interviewing over the years as well, and just remember definitely some interesting experiences as well. But what would you say, you know, if you just had 5 minutes with a person, they were going in for a big interview, a job that they were qualified for, but, you know, you just knew that they had to nail the interview, what would you tell them?
I would tell them to have great eye contact with the person and try to make a connection with that person. Also, answer the specific question that's asked. I've had many instances where I ask certain questions and people answer other questions. Yep. And it's hard to decipher if someone is really qualified for the position unless they're specifically answering the question that you really need to have answered. Also, I would say the most important thing is to be yourself. A lot of people put on a front when they interview, and I feel like that is the biggest mistake that someone could make. I would say that isn't your place to really have therapy, though, on the other end of the spectrum. It's not the place to reveal your 1,000 flaws. You know, if they ask, what is something that one of your weaknesses, let's say. Give them one weakness. Don't elaborate on 20 or 30 weaknesses. Mm-hmm. We all know that we have weaknesses. A big mistake would be to say that I don't really have weaknesses. That could be a concern to that person. They might not really want to work with you because they're knowing that they have weaknesses themselves. So that could be intimidating. Mm-hmm. So I would say be yourself. Answer the questions that are asked. If you are hired for the position, you'll be better off for it that you presented who you really are, because it's going to come out later anyway. Yeah. So definitely my recommendation is just enjoy the interview for what it is. It's a chance for you to gauge if that company would really be a fit for you as well. It yeah. isn't one-sided. Mm-hmm. And it's a chance for them to gauge, would this person be a fit with our community? A lot of people, when they interview, they're thinking, would I like to go to lunch with this person?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. we work together. You're going to spend a lot of time with this person. So those are my recommendations.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that, because that's exactly what I think, too. When I interview people, I think to myself, you know, it's not just about who are you on paper. I mean, we could freelance someone out for that or just get some kind of contractor. You know, I mean, this yes. is like, are you going to be part of our team, and are you going to fit in, you know, to our team? And, you know, are we going to be able to talk about, you know, hey, what'd you do on the weekend and what, you know, that kind of thing? Because really, like you said, you spend a lot of time with that person. And I thought what you said about the two-way street thing is great, too, because I think especially a lot of younger adults don't think that. They think, oh, I've got to go sell myself. I've got to, you know, convince them, mm-hmm. pull the wool over their eyes that I'm amazing and that I have all these skills and whatever. And maybe I don't. But the fact is, you know, they're kind of being interviewed by you as well. Would
exactly.
you fit in there well? And, you know, if you wouldn't, then there's something else for you as well. So, yeah. Anything to add, Martha? Any exciting experiences? Or
Well, something that came to mind of Kelly mentioned about it's not a counseling session to go to an interview. And I remember my first interview after being laid off from Brio, I totally bawled. I broke out in tears because I don't think I had totally dealt with the fact of I'm having to move on and this is a new step. So maybe a recommendation would be to work through your issues before you go in.
Yeah. I've often found, too, that like what you said, Kelly, about really being yourself. I mean, that has often worked in my favor. And, you know, you know when someone is telling you something that they think you want to hear, and you're just hearing the same line that people are. Mm-hmm. And I interviewed for a women's ministry at one point, and you could tell it was one of those women's ministries that was kind of the coffee klatch, and all the women, and they had their brightly colored scarves and stuff, and their coffee mugs and their devotionals and everything. And the director of it said, you know, well, why do you want to work here? And I just put it out there and I said, well, I can tell you it's not because I have a quote unquote heart for women's ministry. Because you knew that everyone's like, I just have a heart for women.
Yes.
Women,
yes.
I just have a passion. Women are just my passion. And I was like, so I said, you know, more so it's really the evangelistic, you know, really thrust of the ministry and stuff like that. And she was like, that is like the most honest interview answer like anyone has ever given me. And so it showed, you know, a little bit of my direct nature and my sense of humor and stuff. And so anyway, it was really fun, and we're still friends and everything. So, but it's true, you know, they want someone that's going to bring their own personality and their own style and stuff into the mix. So I think that's a good thing to remember. So, all right, really quickly, let's talk about internships, because Focus has an internship program. Kelly, I want you to tell us about it.
Okay. We have a great internship program. Our internship program will begin June 6th of this year. We have a lot of internships available on our website in audio drama, master writers, TV and web production, a bunch of areas, Hispanic ministry, parenting and marriage ministry. So definitely I would say to anybody, encourage them, check it out, see if there's something that might be a fit with what you're majoring in. We do require college credit for our internships. And our goal for the internships is really to build community among Christian believers, young people from various disciplines and backgrounds, so that those lifelong relationships could be fostered and begin here, whether they're going to work here in the future or not. We'd like to show them how a Christian organization runs, and there are a lot of meaningful projects and assignments that are given to our interns. And we've also had many of our interns come back and freelance for us or be hired here at the ministry. Mm-hmm. So it's a great springboard to those that would like to use it in that way. And we'd love to have you. So consider us.
That's cool. And then get more information where?
On focusonthefamily.com/jobs and look under our open positions.
Okay.
And you'll find the internships.
Great. All right. And I think that works, you know, anywhere. I mean, internships are a great place to look into. I mean, a lot of you, those of you that are in school, you can get more info about internships through your job placement offices. Like Kelly said, Focus has a great structured program for internships. So that's a great way to find out more info. But also that's another great way to put your networking to work. A lot of times,
yes,
you know, you can't just go up to a person and say, hey, can you give me a job? But you could say, hey, could I shadow you for a day? Or, hey, is there anything in your office that I could help with for maybe a month or so? Or put in some time, and people are more than willing to help you with that. So definitely another good option. So, all right, Kelly, thank you so much for weighing in with your expertise. Great to have you as part of this roundtable. And Martha, welcome to the Boundless family and to the podcast. Great first time out of the gate here in the studio. So we'll be hearing more from Martha in the future for sure. So
hopefully the best is yet to come.
Great. Exactly. Yes. So that'll be very, very fun. We'll be learning more and more about Martha. So that's going to be good. So, all right. Good job, ladies. Well, hey, everyone. I'm excited about this week's culture segment because I have Kelly Rosati in the studio with me. Kelly, welcome.
Thanks. It's awesome to be here.
Woohoo. Kelly, you are in charge of our Sanctity of Human Life efforts here at Focus on the Family, which includes a wide spectrum of things. I know people, even not too many years ago, probably heard Sanctity of Human Life, maybe even now, still hear Sanctity of Human Life and just think abortion. But we know that there's a wide spectrum of life issues that are out there that are being dealt with now. Everything from the preborn to the elderly and the aged and adoption and orphan care initiatives, because you are in charge of that here at Focus as well. So I know that there's a lot of exciting stuff going on. And because we are in Sanctity of Human Life Week, I want to make sure that our listeners know what the latest and greatest from Focus is, as well as just the landscape in general. And you're the one to provide that for us. So very excited. So let's start jumping in and getting a little idea, a little bird's eye view of what's going on. First of all, last Friday, we had our chapel here at Focus on the Family.
We did.
Sanctity Chapel, and you gave us a little update there. And one of the highlights of chapel, which I mentioned on Facebook, was when a woman named Susan, who had chosen to keep her baby after viewing our Tebow ad last year during the Super Bowl, came and brought her little girl.
Absolutely.
So that was very awesome. I don't think there was a dry eye in the place. We were all like, oh my word, I can't even believe it. And so it was awesome. So I posted that on our Facebook page for Boundless. And, you know, I think it has like 100 likes and everyone's excited. And I think it's fun for our audience because we don't maybe have a ton of people at Boundless that regularly go to Focus and find out what's going on. So when we have the chance to kind of highlight something that we're doing in the larger ministry, that's always a good thing. But tell us a little bit about how that came about, just how we were able to tell her story in a little way. And we still, of course, try to protect her identity, but how she chose to tell it.
Really. Sure. Well, we were happy, you know, she blogged for us about her experience as well. And so for folks who actually go to focusonthefamily.com, they can see some of her experience. It was very interesting. She is not a young gal. She's a woman in her mid-30s, mm-hmm. and found herself facing an unplanned pregnancy. And boyfriend was not interested in this baby being born. And so she was really concerned about that and concerned about his perspective and wasn't sure how she would do it. And the only football player from college she said she would have ever known was Tim Tebow. Mm. And so it was because of that that she paid attention to the ad. And as a result of the ad, she changed her mind. She decided that she was going to parent. And a few months back, had a beautiful, beautiful little baby girl who, as you said, we all got to lay eyes on this past Friday. And so it's been a neat thing to see her talk about the fact that she could really see God's hand working in all of this now. When she came here, we were all so moved by her, but she was pretty moved to be here as well and to just see all the people who had prayed for her and supported her and her little girl. And it was a great opportunity for us to just build a love on her. It was awesome.
Yeah, that's really cool. And it's so important, I think, for us as a staff to be able to see, kind of put that name with that face and that effort and the fact that, you know, we sometimes come here and maybe we think we're just answering emails or we're just filling, you know, orders or we're just doing whatever, and to see that it really is actually touching lives and to put that money out there. And of course, a lot of people, you know, were like, what, you know, that the ad, are you guys sure you should have done that and stuff. And it's a great example of how, you know, sometimes after the fact you realize how something really touches someone.
Absolutely. We're dealing with real lives here. This Sanctity of Human Life thing is not philosophical. It's not political. It's real life, and it's awesome to be able to be a part of it.
Yeah. Another thing that I've highlighted occasionally here at Boundless is our Option Ultrasound program, and a lot of our listeners know about that, but I thought that was exciting to get that update. We've now placed 515 services, correct?
Yep, we've made grants for ultrasound machines mm-hmm. or sonography training so that the people who get the machines know how to use them really, really well, and we've done 515 grants since 2004 in pregnancy medical clinics all around this country, 49 states, not 50. Vermont's the holdout.
We're still trying to work there.
Yeah, come on, Vermont.
Come on, Vermont.
But we're excited to be at 515. And then, of course, when we place those machines, we ask the clinics to please give us some data so that we can confirm empirically, if you will, what we know intuitively, which is that ultrasound makes a difference. And so from that data that has been collected, we know that as many as 90,000 babies have potentially been saved. And that's a huge woohoo from, from those headquarters.
Since 2004, I mean, since we started it. So that's huge. And that is wonderful to be able to quantify that in a sense and to give that picture of really, you know, this, again, it does matter and it does add up. I think that is huge. And I think it's helpful to, I know as I've talked to friends who are either not pro-life in any sense of the word or are not fans of Focus on the Family, to be able to say that what we're doing, I mean, those clinics, our efforts there kind of help legitimize, you know, I think there's, again, that perception of these are just crazy Christians in these clinics that tell people, give people misinformation and stuff. And it's like bona fide. I mean, this is helping them kind of gain some credibility and get some medical expertise within their doors and, you know, the stuff that they need to really help women.
It's a great combination of bona fide medical care, healthcare delivery in the best sense, and the incredible love of Christ that is shown to these women and to the families who walk through those doors. It's truly a beautiful thing. And the folks who are in the Pregnancy Medical Clinic and Pregnancy Center movement are really on the front lines being the hands and feet of Jesus to those in need. It's great to be a part of.
That's amazing. Okay, tell us what the latest is in adoption and orphan care. Another passion of yours.
Yeah, another exciting area. Again, as you set this up so perfectly, we want people to understand that being pro-life is not only about speaking out on behalf of the preborn. We will always speak out on behalf of preborn kids who have no other voice. But there are lots of other folks in that category who qualify, not only those at the end of life, but folks in between. So whether it's the orphan, as you described, and I will give you an update on that in just a second, or whether it's the victim of genocide halfway around the world, whether it's the victim of trafficking, these are people made in God's image, and our speaking out for them is part of a seamless garment of life and justice that's all woven together. And we want to help equip people to know that they can do that and that these things aren't either or. And so as a part of that commitment, we do our adoption orphan care campaign. And one of the biggest components is our Wait No More initiative, where we go into communities, we partner with child welfare officials, and we do something very specific. We try to recruit adoptive families for the waiting kids in our foster care system who need families. A lot of people didn't know we even had kids in our communities who needed families, orphans, if you will, modern day orphans. But I got to tell you, they're the kids that nobody else wants. And they are a clarion call to the church. These are teenagers. These are sibling groups. They're kids with special needs. And Lisa, nobody wants them. And as the body of Christ, we need to be the people who want them and who are willing to lay down our lives for that vulnerable, lonely person made in the image of God who has basically been discarded and forgotten. And so we've had more than 1,200 families across the country who have started the process of adoption from foster care. And we're really excited as these stories of homecoming start to trickle in.
Wow. We talked about this a little bit in November, but just that idea, I really love the emphasis, and I guess it's not just this year, I think it's a growing emphasis within this movement and how we're a part of it, and that is to look not at what waiting children can do for us and how they're going to complete us and how they're going to complete our family or what that means for us, what we need, but what we as the church can step up and provide for them.
Absolutely. I mean, it is a complete paradigm shift, and you just said it perfectly. There is no greater recipe for disaster, frankly, than for adults adopting a child to fulfill their desires. But really, if they can go into it with the perspective that they are going to provide unconditional love and they're going to release their expectations and they're going to release their fantasies about a quick fix, and they're going to walk the journey of suffering with a kiddo who's been from a hard place and who needs to know the love of the Savior. And so we're seeing it happen. It's hard. It's a really, really hard thing. And that's why these families need the church to wrap around them and kind of be part of that journey with them. And I think that's probably the kind of thing that your audience does so well. But the other thing I just want to say is we really want to be part of a revolution here where we, instead of making it an unusual thing to see a few adoptive families at church, to have pre-marrieds and other people kind of really intentionally seek the Lord and ask Him, are you going to want to use the blessing of our home and our family? Or do you want to right now on behalf of a child without those things? And maybe even look to planning for that so that as people look at the body of Christ, it is the norm, not the exception, that we have welcomed home kiddos who needed families.
Yeah.
That's the vision.
That's huge. We actually have an event coming up that I want you to tell us a little bit about. I know you referenced, you used the phrase life and justice, and we have something coming up in here in Colorado Springs. You all have heard about it on this week's show already because it's this week's show sponsor, and you're going to be able to check in with that, check the podcast even after the fact, see what's happening. But tell us a little bit about what the purpose of that event is.
Well, the purpose is to inspire, educate, and equip the body of Christ to make a difference on behalf of the least of these, those with no voice, to really know how to live life in justice right where God has you, not in some grandiose way that you could never imagine, but in practical ways that are available to you day in, day out, week in, week out. And so we're very, very excited, as we just kind of alluded to earlier. I think before, lots of the conferences you may have a choice to go to might be either about abortion and some of the things you might do about that, maybe even end-of-life issues together, or about issues of trafficking and genocide and other things that have maybe been perceived more in a justice category. And we want to bring these things together and really help explain from an integrated biblical perspective how this is not either or, but it's both and. And so people will be able to come to pray, Lord, what is our area of interest? We will have workshops and speakers related to the preborn, related to orphan care, related to trafficking, related to genocide, related to elder care, related to helping with kiddos who have special needs. So the full gamut of those issues will be addressed, and people will be able to have practical on-ramps to know what they can do to make a difference. And so all the information on that, Lisa, is at lifeinjusticeconference.org. And the great news is, if you don't live here in Colorado Springs, you can join us by simulcast, and all those details will be on that same website, lifeinjusticeconference.org.
Great. Okay. And I mean, Kelly knows what she's talking about. You're an attorney. You were in the trenches, really. I mean, you were in Hawaii before you came here, obviously working as part of one of our family policy councils out there. You've been involved on that side. You're also an adoptive mom. All of your kids have been adopted. And you've had the joys and the challenges as well of dealing with that. And obviously being involved in the pro-life movement and many of the things related to that. And of course, our option ultrasound. So what would you say, Kelly, is two things before we go? One, young adults on all of these fronts, what's the best way if someone just says, I really want to make a difference, I want to get involved right now, what's something that I can do on any one of these fronts?
Well, from a very selfish perspective, I would say the first thing that comes to my mind is find and connect with adoptive families in your church or in your community. You have no idea the difference you could make between them thriving and them really, really struggling by being willing to connect with them, to wrap around them, to provide them tangible help, easy stuff like bring meals and connect with their kids and be willing to give them a break and babysit and really be willing to commit and be there with that family. Recognize up front, it might not be pleasant. I mean, when you're parenting a kiddo from a hard place, they can be very challenging. And sometimes the kiddos aren't always that much fun to be around. But ask the Lord if he might have you delve into that area and just see what you can do, or get a group of you together so that it's not all burden on one person, if you will. Or ministry opportunity, I should have said. But do it together. Come around that family. You will be shocked at the impact that you can make. So that's one thing you can do. Connect with your local pregnancy resource center, pregnancy medical clinic. See how you can volunteer. Ask the Lord how we might help. There's anything from providing material assistance that you could help with to getting trained to be a counselor and learning how to meet that woman or that girl at the point of her need. There's so much you can do. There's going to be a session on Suddenly Senior. You know, we have a huge population of folks at the end of their lives who are so lonely, who live in assisted living facilities or who live in nursing homes. And Lisa, a good portion of them never have a single soul to visit them. And you know, whether it's the orphan we're talking about, whether it's these folks at the end of their life, that loneliness and that desolation and that just not belonging somewhere is just one of the worst conditions there is. And we know that's why Jesus came, to give us that life. And as the body of Christ, we can do that as we're willing to, you know, be inconvenienced and be uncomfortable and connect with some lonely people. So whether it's preborn, whether it's orphans or adoptive families, or whether it's some of the elderly folks in your local nursing homes, you can have a huge impact.
Yeah. And you guys out there are really creative, so I want to see you on this blog post start weighing in and share ways that you are already doing this or ways that you are going to do this to get some of the young adults in your church to join you and start actively doing some of these things within your own church and within your own community, because I think that's important, and I think that's the value of the Boundless community, is being able to do that, even though, you know, we're largely an online community, to be able to share those stories, to share those ideas, pray for one another as we seek to do that and seek to really be the hands and feet out there. It doesn't matter if we just chit-chat about this on the blog and on the podcast, if we're not actually taking that functionally and starting to do something. Just before we go, Kelly, really quick, give us an idea of the temperature on these issues nationally. When we look, like, whether the church as a whole or when we're talking about government or just people, because you're out and about, you're at conferences, you have had the chance to speak in Washington, D.C., you know kind of what people are thinking. Is it an uphill battle still for us? I mean, obviously, we're going to stay in prayer, but...
You know, I think the way that you answer that depends on whether you're an optimist or a pessimist, and I'm an optimist.
Good.
I am encouraged by what we're seeing. The Holy Spirit is absolutely moving in the church to awaken people's minds and hearts to true religion, that is widows and orphans, as the Bible describes, and to God's heart for the least of these, as we've been saying, from the preborn to end of life and all points in between. Obviously, in our country, abortion is still a huge national sadness. I mean, it's just it's a time where infant adoption rates have plummeted and abortion rates continue to be just very, very sadly high. And so we just need to continue to persevere and to count it a privilege, really, to be able to, in a winsome and loving way, with a clarion call to God's grace and love and mercy, speak that truth. And it's a wonderful privilege to be able to do it. And I think there are good opportunities on the horizon.
And we'll do it starting right here at Boundless. So I'm so glad we have you on our team, and you can give us these updates and kind of be at the forefront for us, and we can kind of hold your arms up.
Thanks, Lisa. So, thanks glad so for you and for your whole crew out there. Thanks, Boundless folks.
Yay. Thanks, Kelly.
All right.
Well, we are opening up this week's inbox, and I have Candace on the phone. Candace!
Lisa, hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. I understand it's cloudy and kind of dreary there.
Well, I'll tell you, I did not realize how much I love the sun until I moved away from it. And we get, I think, 100 days, fewer sunshine days than you get in Colorado, and I'm feeling that grayness.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. So I think it's maybe time for a vacation out here again.
I know. So, I don't know if I've earned it yet. I haven't been away that long.
Oh, well, you know, there's time. Give it a few more weeks, and then you guys just load up the van and come on out.
Okay. So. You've actually had milder weather there than we have here almost the entire winter.
Wow.
I think we've had more snow here in the so-called South than you have had out there in the mountains, which is just blowing my mind.
Yeah, these past couple of days have been beautiful here, so it's looking looking to be a good week. So I don't know, we'll see. But well, hey, I'm excited about today's question because it harkens back to my days of online dating, and we all know how wonderful that season of my life was.
Have they ceased altogether?
Well, they kind of have, because it drove me nearly to illness to do it. And so I haven't recovered after these 3 years or whatever. So I don't know if I'll be able to return. We'll see.
Maybe today will help you.
Yeah. Well, maybe when I start another evangelism push, I'll do it, because that's what I did, is I just witnessed to guys. I paid $40 a month to share the gospel with them.
Wow. I'm sure you have an extra crown.
Welcome to my life.
You have an extra jewel in your crown for that, Lisa.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I better have several for that one, let me tell you. So anyway, good times. But this is from Courtney. So Courtney is asking you, she says, a couple of friends and I have been trying out eHarmony. In an effort to let the men lead, I've been waiting for my matches to initiate contact before entering into a conversation with them. The trouble is, there are two or three men who have really intrigued me from their profile, but they have not contacted me. After 2 or 3 weeks, I wonder if I've just gotten lost in the list of matches that accumulate over time. Would it be helpful to them for me to just drop an icebreaker or initiate a conversation? And then I love how she ends it. She says, what would Ruth do? And I can just say there are like there are like 12 of my friends that are like echoing this question in chorus right now.
Because, oh my goodness! Yeah. Well, let's start with Ruth. I don't know what Ruth would have done. Obviously, Ruth didn't have the benefit and or you know, nightmare of online dating to deal with in her culture.
That's true.
But you know, I think the starting point here has to be your motives. If you really are concerned that you got lost in the onslaught of matches, and I suspect with certain, you know, dating sites that's a possibility, that you're getting somebody, a man is getting so many new matches in his inbox every day that it's overwhelming. One, he could easily lose track of, you know, somebody he thought looked interesting and then he just forgets because there's so many new women showing up in his list of matches. Or two, he really is having his need for material satisfaction met, and that, you know, it's like, oh, she's cute, but oh, wait, there's more. And, you know, what else is out there? And so there's this constant sense of don't settle because you're always going to have new options. Mm-hmm. And there might be someone better right around the corner. So you kind of have to be careful with all of that going in. But I would say for the gals, check your motives. If, you know, if you really are just wanting to say hello and be kind and introduce yourself, I think that's fine, because you would do that at a party if you weren't painfully shy. So anything that you would do in real life, you know, be it at a social gathering or even in a church service, to go up and introduce yourself, say hello, you know, ask some basic questions is fine. What you don't want to do is get into the habit of leading the conversation, you know, always going back, always being the first one to ask a question, and really taking on that role of initiator.
Yeah. Well, and then I think making sure that you don't end up in a role that is not, you know, dating related, or where he has the opportunity to pursue, where it becomes just a chat fest and you
exactly.
become his little online pen pal.
Right. And it never goes anywhere.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's, you know, it's, there's a distinction between, hey, I noticed your profile and I notice you like, you know, Charles Dickens. I'm a big Dickens fan too. What, you know, what are your favorite books? Or mm-hmm. whatever, you know, find something in common and pitch out a question. And then hopefully he'll respond and start initiating and move it past just, hi, how are you, rather, you know, quickly in an appropriate amount of time. If that doesn't happen, then yeah, you're right. You have to be really careful not to get into that pen pal mode. You know, going back to Ruth, I think it's interesting that Boaz commended her for not going after the younger men.
Mm-hmm.
It's obvious from the story that he was much older than her and was not necessarily the most eligible bachelor, you know, on the block.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's another question I would ask this gal is, are the men that you're noticing and hoping will notice you, are they inundated with, hey, my name's so-and-so, you know, notice your profile? Do they have this really long list of icebreaker-type initiations from other women? Because mm-hmm. if they're the most popular ones on the website, then I think probably it's best to just move on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they're the type that probably aren't going to single one woman out. If they're just enjoying being the center of attention, those guys are probably not the best choices.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I think they kind of have to, something has to rise to the top pretty quickly, even if you do introduce yourself, because otherwise, you know, a guy should know if you've put yourself out there, you've said, hey, you know, you've introduced yourself, whatever. He then needs to have that opportunity to continue that or pick up where that is. And, you know, you can't just let it languish or something.
Well, and ladies, let's not forget where we are. We're on a matching service. These mm-hmm. guys know what this is for.
Yeah.
Right. So if you say hi and he doesn't respond, or he doesn't, if he responds but then doesn't follow up, this is not, you know, this isn't a mystery.
Right. It reminds me of, okay, so I have to say, you know, because I did somewhat enjoy the movie He's Just Not That Into You, of course, based on the book, and where all the women are talking about these guys, and they're shocked that, you know, the guys didn't call, and all the girl's shocked that the guys didn't call her, and her friends are sitting around saying, well, you know, maybe he was hit by a cab, or maybe his mom's dying, or maybe it's all these,
right.
like, outrageous scenarios, and it's like, well, maybe he's just not that into you.
Exactly.
And so if he's interested, he will respond, and just make sure that you know, kind of keep your own boundaries in place
mm-hmm.
and don't let it get out of hand. So
I agree.
Good. All right. Well, thanks, Candace.
You're welcome, Lisa.
Hopefully Courtney will find that helpful. And I think it is kind of that quandary, because I think a lot of women, you know, feel like, we've talked about this in the past, they're online because they want to feel like they have some hand, that they're doing something while they
That's
are praying
right.
boldly and,
yep.
you know, living
yep.
like they're planning to marry and all of that. But yeah, I think there still has to be, you have to be a little bit careful in how far you let that play out. So,
well, and you know, even on Marywell, where we encourage the men to lead, and the culture, it really is one of you know, holding up that role distinction between men and women, we still have a lot of women who are saying, hey, I probably am going to need to say hi because these guys just aren't doing it first. And so I think that's fine. You know, you just, as long as you're being real with yourself about what your motives are and you're not going beyond what you would do in real life and you're not being overly flirty, but you're just being nice.
Right.
I think that's commendable.
Right. Yeah. So, yep. And just a thing too, like a small caveat here, the sites where you can like smile at people and wink at people and whatever, can we just cut that nonsense? I mean, let's be honest.
Right. Because if you do that in real life, would you wink at a guy in real life? And if you did, I mean, all your friends would think you were crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
And if he winked at you, ugh, yeah. That's just so weird.
It's like none of us are young enough to have time for that. Let's be honest. Time's ticking here. Let's not be smiling and winking. Let's just say something. So, all right.
Getting engaged.
Exactly. That too. So, well, thank you so much, Candace.
You're welcome.
Weighing in on that one. Okay, everyone. That is it for this week's show. As always, we want to hear from you. Write to us, editor@boundless.org, so we can get your question in sometime in the near future and tackle these, sort them out. We can't answer every question, but we try to at least group ones together that we know are hitting the same type of thing and get a representative one from that. So make sure you get your question in. In the meantime, have a great week, everyone. I'm Lisa Anderson for The Boundless Show.
The Boundless Show is a production of Boundless.org. Focus on the family.